final hour here of Sunday Night Live. I want to show you this clip from Sam Altman talking about how AI is essentially going to become critical infrastructure. Clip 3, please, crew.
At some level, when something gets sufficiently huge, whether or not they are on paper, the federal government is kind of the insurer of last resort, as we've seen in various financial crises and insurance companies screwing things up. So I guess, given the magnitude of what I expect AI economic impact to look, sort of, I do think the government ends up as like the insurer of last resort, but I think I mean that in a different way than you mean that. And I don't expect them to actually be like writing the policies in the way that maybe they do for nuclear.
And there's a big difference between the government being the insurer of last resort and the insurer of first resort. Last resort's inevitable, but I'm worried they'll become the insurer of first resort, and that I don't want.
Really, Sam Altman. You know, it's inevitable that this is going to become listed as critical infrastructure, and that's pretty clear because President Trump, during the Big Beautiful Bill debacle, he had a lot of pushback from a lot of people, and MTG, God bless her, played a huge role in removing from the Big Beautiful Bill that they wanted to be able to stop states from regulating AI. And she was talking about federalization and things of this nature at the time. But there was a huge public outroar about this. Well, now, and this is according to Fox News and Axios, crew, you have both of those articles, Trump calls for federal AI standards and to state patchwork regulations threatening economic growth. Well, what I want to know is if we are going to make it that states can't regulate AI, is anyone doing anything about digital ID? Like, okay, if you say you need to win the AI race against China and then we need an executive order to rein in the states, by the way, I'm completely against this. I'm just taking you through the thought process. If that is the case and you know, this is going to let China win or whatever, are you going to include a provision that says that states are never allowed to create a digital ID and use AI to identify people online? Or is that actually your goal? Because this is absolutely ridiculous. White House floats executive order to rein in state AI laws from Axios. The White House is floating this executive order to override state AI laws by launching legal challenges and conditioning federal grants after President Trump publicly backed a federal regulation standard per a copy of the draft seen by Axios. So all of these American families that are having to move out of these areas now because it's just unlivable now. And meanwhile, it's unlivable because of something being built to create a master surveillance state, don't worry about them. We're going to override all these communities. They're already subjected to NDAs where they don't even know that this is going on. By the time they find out, it's too late. We're going to, here it is, Rapid Response 47, accelerating, permitting to build data center infrastructure, promoting the export of American AI models abroad, protecting Americans from woke AI models driven by radical left ideology at the expense of accuracy. Yes, because when we don't have water to drink, our biggest concern is that AI is too woke. Okay. When we can't travel without a digital ID, at least it's based AI, am I right? I mean, come on. You saw those videos. You saw those children that can't play outside. You saw these retired people having to, 82 years old, having to leave the area because they don't have water to drink. And the solution is not, that lady said, I just buy water. But how much water do you need and how much can you really afford if you're, say, on a pension? It seems like these Americans are being completely forgotten, and it's absolutely heartbreaking to see. And I think that when people understand what these data centers are for, just what sort of surveillance technology is being powered by them, maybe they'll get a bit of a fire in their belly to fight back against this. In my opinion, the growing surveillance state, digital ID, AI, data centers, all of this is the biggest fight on our hands. That applies to every single country, by the way. Every single country. I'm going to tell everyone what we can do about it. But first, I want to show you this TSA blueprint. Don't go anywhere. Quick break. And then we're going to break it all down right here on Sunday Night Live.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Blueprint that has been released. But before we do, I want to show you that clip from Kristi Noem, clip 5, announcing this huge investment into upgrading security and keeping Americans safe in the golden age of travel. And then I'm going to tell you what it's really about. Clip 5.
I wanted to come and be with all of you today to talk about the fact that we as the Department of Homeland Security are going to be investing over $1 billion in new technology and new advancements in the security systems at security checkpoints in airports across the country. That is the biggest investment that we've seen in screening technologies in years, in over a decade. And we know that it is our responsibility not just to keep travelers safe, but also to make sure that we're getting them to their locations and to their destinations safely, on time, and efficiently, and also in a manner that can be pleasant and can be an enjoyable experience for them and for their families.
So tell me, why do you need a digital ID to be traveling safely, on time, and efficiently? Why does a digital ID need to be part of that process? Why can't the government make sure that travel is safe without needing everyone to get a digital ID? The truth is they can, and that this is not actually about keeping anyone safe, arriving on time, or efficiency. Maybe efficiency, sure. I guess if you have AI trawling through people's biometrics run by God knows who from what foreign country, I don't know, maybe. But this article from ustravel.org says a golden age of air travel is within reach. First shoes, now liquids, because apparently people think that, I guess, people are so easy to please. Hey, you don't have to take your shoes off anymore. By the way, you know, we did this for you. Now you can just get a digital ID, okay? You don't have to take your shoes off anymore, guys. Isn't that golden? In that article, further down the page, it's paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It says, a report released by the U.S. Travel Association earlier this year specifically laid out a blueprint for eliminating long-standing screening rules, including the no-shoes policy and the liquids ban, through nationwide deployment of next-generation computed tomography scanners. So they tell you about these things that please people to know that they don't have to take their shoes off anymore. What they don't tell you is the other stuff that's in the blueprint. So we're going to go through that blueprint now. Crew, if you can bring that up. We want to look at, obviously, first of all, the first page of the blueprint. It says, a vision for a world-class travel system in America. Commission on Seamless and Secure Travel Report, February 2025. So we have the ustravel.org website telling us that they've been working with the administration in order to get this blueprint happening, okay? And on page 28 of that PDF, so page 28, which is actually page 27 of the file, it says that Congress must increase funding for credential authentication. Sorry, no, that's not the one. It's the previous one, page 26, it says that they must improve identity verification and queue management. So they say that TSA still manually verifies the identity of many travelers, creating security vulnerabilities and inefficiencies for travelers. Moreover, the lack of consistency and predictability at the checkpoint can create confusion and unpleasant experiences. And so identity verification is a critical aspect of security screening. Without proper identity verification, bad actors can enter the aviation system by using false identities or receiving less scrutiny than needed. Indeed, many of the 9/11 terrorists used fraudulent identities or immigration documents to carry out their heinous attacks. For terrorists, the 9/11 Commission concluded travel documents are as important as weapons. So, and you know, those 9/11 guys had magical passports as well, remember? Like completely fire-resistant passports. So we have to make sure that we just go digital so we don't have any more fire-resistant passports, guys. So they bring in the 9/11 narrative. They bring in all of this to say that TSA, and do you remember when they introduced Real ID or passed Real ID earlier this year? And Christy Noem said that you'll still, or they said rather, that you will still be able to use your passport or other verification methods. You don't have to use Real ID to travel, but it's just much easier if you use it. So what was that? May, June, July, August, September, October, November. 7 months later, we have these things which they really intended to do being implemented, these things that were in the blueprint. But at the time they said, no, that's not going to be the case. You still have a choice. Well, that's not really what this document says. And so I want to go to the other pages that I've saved here. Page 27 or 28 of the PDF down the bottom, it says, according to TSA, credential authentication technology is a, So automated identity verification. And this is going to be a game changer, ensuring ID authentication, reservation verification, and secure flight pre-screening status are known in near real time at the airport security. And CAT is an effective tool for TSA officers, providing enhanced fraudulent ID detection capabilities while confirming the identity and flight information of travelers. Can I just ask, how often does someone use a fake ID to travel and TSA doesn't pick up on that? Like, how often does this really happen? Is this an epidemic of fraudulent ID being used to travel and TSA not being able to identify that it's fraudulent ID? Like, how often is this happening? And if that is the case, what's wrong with the TSA agents that aren't able to tell the difference between a real, an authentic ID document and a fraudulent one? Do they not have training in these things? How big is this problem that now the only solution is digital ID? I'm not really sure I understand that. When you go to page 29 of the PDF, this is the point that I was making earlier. They say that Congress should provide legislative support and funding for TSA's biometrics and digital identity initiatives to enable the agency to expand CAT2, mobile driver's license, and TSA pre-check touchless identity solution with private sector partners. And what do they say there? Travelers enthusiastically embrace biometric technology as a secure, convenient way to approve travel. And they found an October 2023 survey, which happened to be during the COVID propaganda, right? So 75% of passengers preferred using biometrics over physical documents during that time because they were all worried about this magical virus spreading on documents, probably. So they're using a 2023 survey for that. Why go back all those years? Why not survey people now and see how they feel about biometrics now that they more are realizing what this is really about? And it clearly articulates there that this is going to be partnering with private sector partners, like when they told us they were going to privatize the TSA right at the start of the admin, and biometric technology. This is what this is about. Then I also have a note for page 30 of the PDF, which says, a digital ID is an electronic representation of identifying information that may be used to verify a person's identity. A mobile driver's license, which is a type of digital ID, something that Tom Renz was recently on my broadcast talking about, is a digital representation of a state-issued physical driver's license stored on a mobile electronic device, such as a smartphone, and read electronically. So to be clear, digital ID kind of already exists through Real ID, but they are telling you that a mobile driver's license is a type of digital ID. It clearly says it there. So everyone's already by default opted into this and previously was told that they don't have to use a digital ID or a real ID to travel, but now it's going to be part of this amazing investment that this is getting mandated through the private companies that we're partnering with, PS. On page 31 of the document, it says that 12 states offer digital identities or MDLs. Do you see how the two are completely interchangeable? The government views those as interchangeable. It's because they are. In partnership with major technology providers, including Apple, Google, Samsung, that can be used at TSA security checkpoints, that can be used, will be, that must be used in a very short amount of time. Because as we said, it was just 7 months ago that you were told that you still have a choice. And now we have an announcement that this is now here. That's all it takes. 7 months. That's all. Participants can voluntarily present the ID, meaning your digital ID, at TSA checkpoints by scanning the digital ID QR code or tapping their Bluetooth-enabled phone. Using facial matching, the traveler's photo is taken and matched to the photo stored on the digital ID. So they are already talking about how digital ID is already in place. In fact, they even say here that TSA must continue progress on digital identity solutions and Congress should consider targeted grant funding for states to expedite digital identity solutions, especially as an investment in meeting the May 7, 2025 Real ID deadline. Of course, this report was released before that date. You can see that push was happening right at Real ID. And for everyone who said Real ID is nothing to do with digital ID, it's not that, it's voluntary, blah, blah, blah. Just have a look at their own documents. On page 54 of the PDF, I just want to show you a couple of other things here. It says, again, talking about CBP needing to further boost CBP officer levels with support from willing private sector partners. So that is replacing more and more, boosting your workforce more and more with the private sector, who will be the ones mandating this, because you can't tell a private company what to do, right? So the government says, well, we didn't mandate it. This private company mandated it. We can't. That's their business. This capitalism. And they're shielding themselves from the fact that this is actually public-private partnerships that are enabling them to achieve this. And then on page 62 of the PDF, this is the last one I'll take you through, but you're welcome to read this. You can find it online, and I'll give you the name of it one more time. But it talks here about the need for consistent framework on privacy and data sharing, page 62 of the PDF. As automation technologies for baggage data sharing, advanced passenger information and biometrics become increasingly integrated into travel processes, privacy and data sharing requirements should be aligned with international partners. What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? This means that this isn't only going to be for domestic travel. This is obviously going to be for international travel as well. And we see countries like the EU and Australia and the UK and all of them talking about these things, and we think it'll never happen here. Well, it is. This is already back in February, and you see that the recommendations that they made to DHS have already come into fruition. So again, the name of that report, if you want to look it up yourself, is A Vision for a World-Class Travel System in America. It is the Commission on Seamless and Secure Travel and U.S. Travel Association, published in February of 2025. So with all of this that I've spoken to everyone about, and we're going to start taking calls at the end of this segment in about 10 minutes or so, the number to call is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I want to hear from people about what your perspective is on all of this. Were you actually aware of these things? How much of it were you aware of? And where are you getting your information from? Because I am just not seeing many of these inflated, say, X influencers. And when I say inflated, I mean artificially boosted. And I genuinely mean that. I don't even hide my opinion on this anymore, because a lot of these influencers, these pom-pom cheerleaders, are completely useless. They just keep people distracted from the real issues. They do not do journalism. I want to know who you're getting your information from, because I feel like we're just flooded with these fake people. And so again, last time, 877-789-2539, give us a call and we'll talk to you in about 10 minutes or so. I just want to talk about what it would look like to actually defeat the New World Order. What does defeating the New World Order look like? If we had a government that was committed to reversing course on this, what would it look like? Well, it would look like holding Big Pharma accountable for what they did during COVID. This is one thing. It's now come out. New studies have come out that every single COVID injection recipient has microclotting. And I'm actually going to be talking to Nick Holscher from the McCullough Foundation tomorrow about this. Please tune into our show. I am live at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, every single weeknight. And that show is a collaboration that I do with The Vigilant Fox. So Vigilant Fox on X, give him a follow. Fantastic individual. And you can also follow us on Rumble, Z Media on Rumble. And that is where you can watch that show. And I'll be getting Nicholas Holscher on, because it looks like we may have had a breakthrough with NATO kinase and these microclots that are being found inside of people who've had the shots. And I know that a lot of people felt pressured and coerced and forced into that. And I don't judge people for that. I wish more people stood up against it, but I understand that that was a really, really crazy time. I hope we've all learned from it. Anyway, I say all of that to say it looks like some breakthroughs are coming out, and we have to depend on real doctors and people that actually care about the people to give us these solutions, because what we're doing right now is not holding Big Pharma accountable at all. In fact, here's President Trump in clip 7 saying that Albert Bella did a really great job during COVID. Take a listen.
Where are the other companies other than Pfizer? Are you expecting them to come?
They're all with us. And I was honored to have Albert be the first. He's done a fantastic job with, as you know, with the COVID. He did a fantastic job with a lot of things. He's a leader, and Pfizer is right at the top. You know, it's there. Eli Lilly has been fantastic also, your friend, my friend. And they're all coming in over the next week. We're making deals with all of them.
We can leave it there. Pfizer's right at the top. Albert Bella did a really fantastic job, as you know, with COVID. There are, at bare minimum, 17 million people dead from the COVID injections around the world. So I cannot agree that Albert Bella did a really great job. And here the team's playing some B-roll of Elon Musk, who we're told there's a huge rift with, apparently. It was the reason why Doge didn't succeed, we're told. Dining with Albert Bella, who's a regular now at the White House, it seems, along with Bill Gates and all of these characters that really belong in prison for crimes against humanity, in my opinion. Of course, they have to be found guilty in a court of law, but the problem is no one's taking them to a court of law. No one's holding them accountable. We're saying they did a great job. We're inviting them to the White House. We're making deals with them. We're rewarding them. We're giving them redemption tours. Mark Zuckerberg gets a perm and goes on Joe Rogan, and all of a sudden he's based again? Everyone thinks he's cool again? What are we supposed to accept, that Albert Bella is now back in the flock? Is Albert Bella MAGA 2 now next to Mark Levin? This is the new MAGA, and we're just supposed to accept that? People who fought for President Trump, people who went to prison for President Trump on Jan 6th, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who at incredible expense to her personally is now being called a traitor because she wants pedophiles exposed. But Albert Bella did a great job, everyone. This is madness. This is literally madness, and it should infuriate people. And please don't misunderstand me. I don't hate anyone, but I really hate injustice. And I'm not seeing a whole lot of justice going on these days. And I've always sided with the people. And it really upsets me when the people get screwed. And I think they are getting screwed. I think they're getting screwed when the water coming out of their taps is brown and they have no water in their wells. And they have to move out after living in a community their whole lives and building their lives there because Meta takes precedent. Meta, who through the COVID era was silencing people via Joe Biden's direction, censoring Americans. Surely there's a First Amendment lawsuit there somewhere. No, Mark Zuckerberg's cool now. He's cool, man. He got a perm. This is some form of Idiocracy, which was clearly a documentary. This is like Idiocracy 2.0, where we're just supposed to forget. They depend on us having a short memory. I hope you're in my camp where I actually have a very long memory and I don't forget these things easily, and neither should you, because the government works for the taxpayers that actually keep them employed. They're your employees. And they don't get to tell you that someone who is actually probably guilty of crimes against humanity for creating a biological weapon, a biological and technological weapon that was deployed against billions of people around the world, which millions of people are dead or disabled from. No one gets to tell you that guy is a really great guy. I don't like injustice. I don't like when the people are trodden over. And whatever your thoughts are on Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think she did some really great things. I think she screwed up in some spots. Sure, but she's a human being. Everyone's a human being. But to go and viciously attack her and call her a traitor, to go and attack Thomas Massie and make fun of his late wife. These people who are trying to ensure that a clear pedophile, and we know Jeffrey Epstein was a pedophile, that part we know because Pam Bondi said it. There's nothing else in the files except Jeffrey Epstein's collection of child porn, says Pam Bondi, if you recall. They found nothing except his own child porn collection. That's what Pam Bondi said. But it's also a hoax, but it also has national security concerns, says Mike Johnson. There are national security implications of releasing those files, apparently. Your guess is as good as mine what's going on there. So we have a man, Thomas Massie, who is like, I am going to set America free from this pedophile who seems to be texting Plaskett in Congress. Was it Plaskett? Texting her in the middle of government matters, exchanging emails with presidents about how we're going to profit from the Syrian civil war. I think it's a pretty good idea if we make sure that that ring of clearly extremely globally influential people is no longer in operation. If we expect things to actually change and the American people or people in any single country to be sure that their government is going to work for them and represent their best interests. Because I don't know how much of that is really going on right now. When I see videos like those communities that are being railroaded by Meta, Mark Zuckerberg of all people, who is by default responsible for a lot of the people who were injured or died during the COVID era because he censored real, true medical information in that era, in my opinion. Of course, it would require a court of law to find him guilty of that. But again, no one's doing that. We're focused on tit for tat between left and right. It seems very, very insignificant to me. But I want to hear from you. If you disagree with me, call. I would love to have a robust conversation with you. We're going to be back after the break. 877-789-2539. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
My fellow InfoWarriors, we are having right now, in late November into early December, the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, if the bad guys are about to take it over, why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction. They're saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle, they're going to, you know, auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this. We'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Because remember last year when The Onion, this time last November, announced that they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people were like, well, we're not going to give them money. But of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. So remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money. They want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser. Last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever. It works incredibly. This is a product that I came out with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart. Sodium for the cardiovascular. Spike protein detoxer. And men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate?
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
Before we go to your calls, I just want to make people aware of what they can do about this. So very quickly, team, if you can bring up number six, the letter from Brian Harrison to Governor Abbott. This is something that is underway in Texas. I have been working with Brian Harrison to get him on board. Well, not even get him on board. He was already on board, but he attended a recent meeting with some Texans, and I was present there as well. This is a letter addressed to Governor Abbott calling for a special session. This is October 24th and Governor Abbott still has not responded. And as part of that agenda, he wants to introduce legislation to repeal SB 2420. That is the bill that we were talking about earlier, which means that every single Texan has to add their ID in order to use Apple or Google services come January 1st. Very important to understand, guys, this has already passed. come the 1st of January next year, in just over a month away, every single Texan will have to link their ID to their online activity. So what we need to do in Texas, and every single state should be following suit to stop these bills before they pass, look up whether, you know, definitely contact Mike Lee in Utah, contact every single state, Louisiana, wherever they're trying to do this, and get it stopped in its infancy. But in Texas, because the bill has already passed, what we need is for people to put pressure on Governor Abbott. So contact his office and put that pressure on for him to call back a special session. Otherwise, it will be over a year before we get this matter addressed. And so we cannot allow that. We cannot allow Texas to fall to this sort of tyranny. So the pressure, follow Brian Harrison on X and make sure to contact Governor Abbott's office, whether by phone or email or on social media, and put the pressure on for this special session to repeal SB 2420. That is Brian E. Harrison on X at Brian E. Harrison. This is the man, the state representative that is pushing to repeal this legislation. So we thank him for that. All right, going to your calls now, and please try, because we have a full board and I want to get to as many people as possible. I hate when I don't get to everyone. Try to limit it to just a couple of minutes each. Get your point across really succinctly for me. Anne from Pennsylvania. Anne, you're on the line.
Hi, Maria. I am a first-time caller, and I just want to say we appreciate the work that you're doing with all your reports and everything. I'm an elected official in the township that I live in, which is close to a nuclear power plant. And we have a data center coming in front of me this year, probably within another month or two, for me to decide whether to allow it or not. And I've, you know, read a lot of the reports. I, you know, follow Alex religiously. We listen to him every day on InfoWars, and I know of the challenge with the data centers from a human health perspective, as well as just the livability. And I'm not sure, like, how to vote on it, because I also feel conflicted with the AI war with China. And as somebody who has a responsibility to taxpayers, I'm trying to make the best decision. I'd just like to get a little bit of your feedback on if I try to stop this, like how to do it.
Yeah, I understand. I don't know, as an elected official, what sort of pull you have, what your specific office is. I can appreciate maybe you don't want to give all the details right now. What I would say is that, as part of your decision making, and again, this, my advice, take it or leave it, is have they actually provided the community with the information of how they are going to do their cooling? How much is that going to be a strain on the people's resources? Are people's power prices going to go up? And what has been put in place to mitigate that? Because the trend is a data center comes in, power prices shoot up, and it affects the water quality as a bare minimum. So what has been put in place to mitigate those things? If no plan exists, and I can almost guarantee you that no plan exists to address those two issues, I would personally be putting the responsibility back on these companies to put those things into place to make sure that they are not going to impact the communities that they are going to be putting their data centers in. We understand that AI is an emerging technology. I am personally not a fan of where the surveillance state is going, but not all AI is about that, of course. But as a bare minimum, these companies need to ensure that they are not going to be wrecking the communities that they're coming into. So what guarantees have they given in writing that they will not be affecting the water supply, that the energy prices will not be going up? And if those two conditions can't be met, well, then how else are we going to protect our constituents if those conditions aren't met? These companies are, just let me remind you, these companies make billions and billions and billions of dollars a year. They can invest the money into the engineers that they need to figure out their cooling systems without putting strain on the communities that they're in. So I hope that that's helpful in some way. And definitely talk to your constituents, see how they feel about all of this, and have a look at the effect of data centers on other areas that have had them come up. So that's what I think about that. And also the EMF. Sorry, one other thing I wanted to mention. I jotted this down. The EMF. What sort of EMF effects are going to be happening to the people, to the environment? What long-term studies have been done on the impacts of that EMF on the community? Are we going to put this data center here, and then in 5 years everyone's going to be getting cancer exploding? Who's done any studies into this? And again, I think that if these are things that can't be addressed, then these data centers can't go there. Put them next to the ocean, for goodness sake. I realize it's simpler to say that, but I hope that that gives you some guidance, and definitely please continue to look into this, because the way that they're doing it now is harming communities. I hope that helps. Let's go to Bart in Georgia. Bart, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I want to say methylene blue, buy it before it's banned. It's that good. They want to ban it. Now, I want to talk about this digital ID and how it relates to flying. First of all, this digital ID is one of many multiple marks of the beast that the Bible talks about. There's not just one. And I refuse to fly anymore, period, because it's totally unsafe. You know what's going on. I suggest we can't avoid, here in Georgia, I can't avoid having this ID, but I don't have to use it other than to drive my car. And I just wanted to say one thing about Trump's been creating this fear with ICE and everything, and it's affecting my workplace. And I was at work today, and I was going to smoke a joint with these Mexicans, and I asked if they had any papers, and they ran into the woods. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Bart. Appreciate the call. And he's right about the fact that you don't have to use digital ID, but that's just right now. So I am much more in favor of opposing an agenda before it comes into play than trying to battle it once it's already in and losing even more freedom and even more ground. So I would not be tolerating it in any way. Of course, when you're talking about, I said this to someone recently, when you're talking about prophecy, like something like the Mark of the Beast, right? We know it's eventually going to happen, but that doesn't mean we just roll over and die in the process. We still have to be doing the right thing. And there have been many times throughout history where Christians have thought this is the end, and it wasn't. And so I think it's very important to always be doing the right thing for humanity at all times. So, and the right thing is to oppose digital ID. Michael in New York. Michael, you are on the air.
Yes, hello, Maria. Thank you. I want to thank you very much for all your work. It's great. And I want to thank Alex Jones for having you back on. And I'm glad I happened to catch your show. I'm going to just fly through a bunch of bullets while you give me a couple minutes. Sure. As far as the data centers and the AI, it's really all about surveillance, because a lot of people are going to lose their jobs as AI advances into various employment and industry areas of work. And there won't be people won't have the money to buy the garbage supposedly AI is going to provide cheaper. So it's all about surveillance. And once they get the digital currency, they got us. The jackpot is on our necks. And as far as Trump sitting down with these pharmaceutical heads that promoted these lethal shots, it's outrageous. I mean, you know, I voted for Trump 3 times. I'm a New Yorker. I don't live in the city. And but he keeps failing us. He doesn't fulfill his promises. He doesn't keep them. And so the fact that he is acting like these COVID shots were the best thing, it's outrageous when all the data, like you've been covering, proves otherwise. A lot of murders, a lot of deaths, a lot of ruined lives, permanently handicapped. It's outrageous. No lawsuits. They're all protected from lawsuits. It's outrageous. And then he sits down with Zuckerberg and the rest, who previously helped steal the 2020 election, and now he's breaking bread with them. I mean, come on, Trump. You know, you're not draining the swamp. You are swimming in the swamp with the swamp rat. And I also want to say, as far as with these data centers and ripping off the resources from the locals with the water and then the electricity. Now, nobody's bringing up the suppressed technologies. We don't need this grid crap. Solar is great for residential, individual purposes, not a grid, but there's way better than that. And it's all suppressed. They're keeping it quiet. Let these scumbag Wall Street bastards, I'm sorry, it's Sunday, that are making billions, let them come up with their own energy sources for the BS data center, right?
Yes, nobody's that is exactly right, that. Michael.
Okay, nobody's bringing that one up, and it ticks me off all these great pundits out there that are on our side, but where are they on this topic? And I also want to say that with the COVID and the pharmaceuticals people, Mother Nature is the only doctor. And Alex Methylene Blue, it's helping a lot of people. That's great. And like this previous caller said, get it before it's gone. But, hey, I got stuff way better than that from direct from Mother Nature. I'm outlasting everybody because, by the grace of the good Lord, I am a true Christian. I know the secrets to health, longevity, staying young. As the good Lord taught, they don't want us knowing. Mother Nature is the answer, and that's what they're cutting everybody off from for decades now. They don't want you
they
knowing
are, Michael,
that.
You're right. I just really want to get through as many calls as I can, Michael. I'm so sorry to cut you off short, but you're right. They want to cut us off from nature. They want to cut us off from each other. This is something that they did during COVID. Isolated people, limited contact. And this is the plan when it comes to digital ID, to limit your travel as well. Remember, I've spoken about this many times on this broadcast. Travel limited to 1,500 kilometers per person every 3 years. How much social contact are you going to have with your loved ones, on the other side of the country when you're limited to that sort of travel with digital ID? So thank you so much for that call, Michael. Really appreciate it. Let's go to David in Montana. David, you're on the air.
Hello, Maria Z.
Hi.
The amazing Maria Z. Glad I got through. I wanted to mention the real ID. The way that they're actually going to force this on us, aside from the legislation, is that it by centralizing all of our data about an individual, it makes it a clearinghouse for someone to be able to come in and steal your identity. So if you don't adopt it, someone else will.
That's a good point.
You're going to be forced.
And I think we'll see a lot of that, right?
Yeah. And then I did hear a lot about the data centers, and I wanted to bring this up that these data centers that are pulling all of this data from all of us, right? We don't get anything for it, but we're subsidizing it entirely. The health.
Sorry, what was that last bit that you said?
Oh, we're subsidizing it entirely. The reason that I believe that they've actually cut us off the most resources and that they're pulling resources from the people is so that they could feed these data centers. I think that, like even when they announced that, it's breaking ground, it's almost done with construction. These things were pre-planned years and years and years in advance. You can't build
absolutely
these things at this massive
absolutely. And
score.
Do you know what? Do you know what, David? When Project Stargate was announced, day two of the current presidency, and I was already like, okay, this is going in the wrong direction. I can see it from a mile away. And then Sam Altman posted a video of a data center that was almost fully constructed. And it was part of Project Stargate. And I'm like, well, we just announced it yesterday or like last week. How is it already fully constructed? What's going on here? It was planned a very long time ago. So you're absolutely right about that, David. And they do want to strip us of our resources, which is why I think that more important than ever is for people to become as self-sufficient as they possibly can. And people tell me sometimes that money is one of the reasons why they haven't been able to do enough prepping as they'd like to. And my recommendation to them is go on YouTube, have a look at some of the more frugal options for prepping. It's not off limits to people just because of money. There are other ways to do this, that may be a little bit more difficult, but the options are there. There are so many creative ways to get energy, get water, get for your own food, grow your own food, all of these sorts of things. So self-sufficiency is super important because the goal is to continue stripping resources and people's access to resources as we get further into this agenda. Let's go to Jacob in Washington. Thank you so much for your call, by the way, David. Jacob, you're on the air.
Ben Franklin once said, "Those who give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." I think that says a lot about the digital ID. I think they also just want to see who's been shot and who hasn't. And I think that Masterpiece by HCS that Harrison and Alex talked to those guys that created the Masterpiece Serum. I think we need to all be taking that. Thank you very much. I appreciate
Thank
your
you
passion
so much.
For the truth.
Appreciate your call. Thank you for being attentive to the truth. It's we need it. We need people to keep paying attention. So I'm grateful to everyone that's tuned in tonight, and please share it with others so that they know what's going on. Let's go to Jerry in Indiana. Jerry, you are on the air.
Hey, thank you so much. Hey, I just want to tell you this, all this digital ID stuff, it's more about control and everything else. That's exactly what it is. Keep track of what we're doing, what we're buying, and everything. That's all it's all about right there.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jerry. That's what it is. So the plan is, once digital ID is in place and they have programmable digital currency, so to be clear, I'm not against crypto. I think that there is a way for people to make money from crypto. And in a way, if you know what you're doing there, you can actually build wealth and become more self-sufficient with that wealth before we get to the system of money that's completely controlled, right? But that's once right. That system's in place, sorry.
I was also going to say, I heard some disturbing news. Can I share it with you? It's very disturbing.
Okay.
A few days ago, here recently in Chicago, a woman was set on fire in a subway station, in the subway in Chicago. A man walked up to her, threw gasoline all over, lit a match on a lighter and set her on fire, and nobody there to help her.
Oh, my gosh. That is horrible.
I'm just going to say it's a black male on a white woman. I'm not trying to sound racist, but it's another like black male on a white woman. Another black on white crime, basically.
I don't think there's anything racist about talking about the fact that black on white crime is very high. And I think that any honest members of the black community would be trying to address that issue and address issues in the community that's leading to those sorts of statistics. So no disclaimers needed. I'm very sorry to hear that. That's obviously horrific. And we are experiencing this continued decay in society that is just not being addressed. And the focus seems to be on, oh, we're going to get this boom by, you know, digitizing everything, but no real solutions are being offered to the people that make them continue this, you know, loop of decay. It's really horrible. It's really horrible. People have to wake up. Let's go to Andrew in New York, please. Andrew, you are on the air.
So I want to talk about private equity firms. So basically they are like monopolies. They own like multiple different major companies. But the problem with them is that like they're private and like the arbitration, like they have their own like courts and they're able like to make like their own like rules. And like, I mean, like regulations, they could be like good or bad, but like in this situation, I think they should be like regulating the private like equity firms. And like you were saying before with like, you know, like a data center is like the way that they're doing it. That's like kind of like an issue because it depends on like the geography of like the like cities that they're like putting the data center in, and like it takes up all that like energy and takes up like water. And like I actually like heard that like they're calling like it actually like it saves energy and actually like opposes no. like AI like that, and it kind of like evens it out, so like AI is not as wasteful like as it would have been.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no saving energy when it comes to AI and data centers. They require an immense amount of electricity and water for cooling. So there's no saving energy when it comes to that. But regarding private equity, I am not against capitalism, but what we have operating is vulture capitalism. A very, very good resource on private equity is Tiffany Cianci. She's amazing. You can find her at The Vino Mum on X. There she is. She is fantastic on this particular topic. I've had her on. I know Harrison's had her on a few times as well. Very, very switched on lady who understands this problem of vulture capitalism. And that is just an exploitation of a system that's supposed to be about merit, but ends up being monopoly, and the regular people end up being really, really affected by it. I may have time. I don't know that I have time for one more call. I'm sorry. John in America, in New York, wanted to talk about how to fix America. I'm so sorry, John, that I didn't get to your call because we're almost out of time. I just really want to end on a couple of things here. You know, there are what is rejecting the New World Order look like? It looks like regulating this vulture capitalism. It looks like not allowing companies like Meta, who you know, as the previous caller said, was involved in the 2020 election fraud, was involved in the COVID era, you know, silencing Americans, silencing doctors. X was doing the same thing, or Twitter back then. None of these people were held to account. There's literally no deterrent from them ever doing that again. Why would there be? They're in the White House now. It looks like holding criminals to account. It looks like actually making some arrests, some deep state arrests. There have been none. There aren't even any really substantial trials going on. We keep getting this theater. You know, I heard recently Comer saying that, you know, Bill and Hillary, if they don't show up for the Epstein hearing, whatever, they may get the Bannon treatment. I don't believe you. Just that simple. I do not believe you, because there is nothing that gives us any indication that anyone's going to be arrested, that anyone's going to be properly prosecuted, that anyone's going to prison. It's been a year, and we had the exposure of Russiagate. No one's been held accountable. We had some AI memes and videos being shared of Obama going to prison, and everyone got really excited about Obama going to jail. And then we got told, oh, well, no, he's got presidential immunity, guys. We can't lock him up. What was the point of all of those AI videos that you put out then? What was the point of all the memes that you reshared and spoke about him being behind bars? With these words get thrown around and no accountability comes. And what people need to see is justice. Again, I just say that the whole world looks to America because it is the land of freedom. It is the land where there is the most amazing constitution, the most amazing Bill of Rights, and some of the most amazing people too, by the way. Absolutely love the people in this country. People that value freedom, people that value, that really love their neighbor like they actually do. People that still have those values that are missing from so much of the Western world. And the Western world, the rest of the West, is yearning for America to step up and, you know, save the West. And so I really still believe in the American people. I know that you can do it. Again, please, if you are in Texas, contact Governor Abbott this week before Thanksgiving and after, and demand that he calls, that he responds to Representative Brian Harrison and calls this special session. Otherwise, come 1st of January, you're going to have to linking your ID. You're going to have to be linking your ID to use basic services. Please don't let that happen. Do not let Texas become Australia, for the love of God. You cannot allow that to happen here. Maximum pressure has to be put on Governor Abbott to respond to this letter and call a special session. And keep an eye out for what's happening in your states as well. Look after your states, look after your communities, because at the end of the day, it is people power. And that was Marjorie Taylor Greene's closing words as well. The people still have the power, and they always do. You can follow me on X at ZEEMedia. Again, daily show Monday through Friday with The Vigilant Fox, who you can also follow on X at ZEEMedia. Also, ZEEMedia, all one word, on Rumble. You can watch the show live there every weeknight. Thank you again so much. That is at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. Please continue to support InfoWars. God bless you all. God bless America. And I'll see you all soon.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Body's Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Body's Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.